oh, definitely louder without masks on. You hear a big difference in the singing today, and it was great to hear that as well. My wife told me not to talk fast, so I'm going to do a longer intro into it, so maybe I'll slow down. And I was going to do a little audience participation today. I was going to call out my sister, but I think she's in nursery, so never know who else I may call upon. Keep you awake and on your toes, but it's good to be with you all today. Happy Acts 29 Sunday. Now let me clarify a few things first. If you're saying, hey, last week Sam said that this was the last week in Acts, and if you're looking for Acts chapter 29 in your Bible, don't worry, it's not there. I know in the community, Pastor Greg has had some comments from concerning well-meaning residents of Ellsbury about what Acts 29 is. They see our probably social media posts, but don't worry, we aren't starting some weird cult or adding anything to the Bible. But we at First Baptist Church in Ellsbury are members of the Acts 29 group. So I may be a little repetitive of the video that you saw, so bear with me. So if you're unfamiliar with Acts 29 and why we are members of it, a couple of Acts 29 factoids for you this morning. By being a member of Acts 29 Church, you're part of Acts 29's global community of healthy, multiplying churches. Now, disciple-making efforts are increased through your involvement with Acts 29. You partner with believers in dozens of countries speaking many languages to make Christ known. So in 2020, Acts 29 helped plant 25 churches. There's hundreds of church planters in the pipeline and expecting the network of churches to grow. Last year, 6,500 conversions in Acts 29 churches globally as more people made decisions to follow Jesus. Now, the threshold to be part of this group, I would say, is pretty high. It's about 2 years ago. Sam and Margaret went through an in-depth, would you call it strenuous, vetting process that on the other side of it, our primary teaching pastor came away from it better. Acts 29 is a continuation of the work of church planting and growth seen in the book of Acts. Now, we have benefited from being members of the networking opportunities, resources offered, and being part of the Rural Collective to connect with other rural church pastors and planters. So as an Acts 29 church and first followers of Christ, we want to be a church that helps plant other churches. Why? Why wouldn't we just want to focus all our efforts on workings here just at First Baptist Church in Ellsbury? Why not just hunker down and focus on the things going around us? Well, because the Bible tells us to go.
That's right.
As Acts 29 pamphlet said, and the video said too, and I would affirm that we believe that the church is God's primary mission strategy here on earth. We are the representation of the body of Christ here on earth, as Jesus calls us his bride. So a couple verses to ponder over. Jesus said before he ascended into Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And probably more quoted would be Matthew 28:16 to the end of the chapter, a.k.a. the Great Commission. So it reads, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So, church, it's clearly stated that we are to go. Jesus affirms again who he is and his authority in these verses, and that we are to go to all nations, yes, that would be all of them, to be his witness, to make disciples of them and baptize them, teach them, and importantly, he will be with us in this task. So, now what? We spent the last 37 weeks deep diving in the book of Acts, seeing examples of this lived out, this going. Examples how we should shift our focus here as we are on mission in Ellsbury, and why we should be a church ready to share the gospel and go to new places to preach Christ crucified. My hope in this sermon is to get us to think about the factors that will come into play as we further into being a church that plants other churches. So it'll be several things we'll walk through. Now, as I'll mention more in the sermon and in the examples, we have been praying over church planting in Louisiana. And what building a team looks like to be Christ witnesses in that town just up the road. So we'll go through several factors into consideration of church, being a church that plants other churches. So first things first, as MC Hammer would say, we got to pray. Got to pray. That's where I was going to call out on Erin, because she was upset with me that I had not heard that MC Hammer song before. So we have the Holy Spirit, so let's use it. There are a lot of prayerful examples to look at in the book of Acts. Now, this may not be an exhaustive list, but we see in Acts 1:24, praying before choosing leaders. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of breaking bread and the prayers. Acts 4:31, after persecution, praying for boldness. Remember, the ground started shaking when they prayed for boldness. Acts 6:6, praying before choosing leaders. 9:40, when they pray for signs and wonders, praying over Tabitha and healing there. And 12:12, praying for the release of Peter from prison. It's one of my favorite, like, they're praying for Peter, and then, like, he shows up, and they're like, oh, that's not Peter. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, it's Peter. Like, it worked. Acts 13:1-3, praying before setting aside the first mission church planting team, Paul and Barnabas. 14:23, praying before setting aside new believers in, or setting aside believers in new churches as leaders. 16:25, we'll talk more about this later, but praying, when they prayed in prison, Paul did, resulting in the conversion of the jailer and his household. 20:36, praying when departing from a church he had planted there in Ephesus, when they prayed over him. 21:5, praying when commending Paul to do dangerous situations, certain imprisonment for the sake of the gospel, and went to Jerusalem. 22:17, praying in worship and receiving guidance as to future ministry plans. And 28:8, praying for healing. So we see in Acts, the church in Acts, churches in Acts, time and time again, our prayer was used in a variety of situations. Prayers for the mission, prayers for help getting out of situations, Paul and Silas praying while in jail, prayer for appointing leaders, healing when leaving a church, and more. So church, we have to be a church that is marked by prayer. Before and during any type of planning mission, really, that would be in all aspects of life. So I want to encourage and appeal you all that are members here today to join us in the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It is a wonderful, as the song says, sweet hour of prayer together. Now, the prayers for the lost in our community, our missional partners, and where God may lead us to plant next. It is an hour a week that I promise you will not be disappointed you came to it. An hour goes by fast. If you remember, a couple people mentioned to me when we did the like day of prayer here, where we came in from, was it 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., we prayed for an hour, and several people, myself even, thought to how fast that hour can go. I love hearing the prayers of fellow believers, and it is a time of growth and focusing our lives as a body of Christ. We need God in all aspects of life, and a church planting mission and prayer for salvation of those who are around us. This has to be soaked in prayer. If we are a church or on the individual level, a Christian that doesn't take prayer seriously, we're saying two things, probably more. First, maybe we're saying that we can just handle any situation that comes up on our own and we don't need any help. Or maybe more dangerously, we think that we don't need God and we don't want him at work in all aspects of our lives. The early church prayed heavily as a group together for God to work in the mission around them. Now, we can sometimes doubt that the God of the Bible is somehow different now, that he won't do a miraculous work here in Ellsbury or Louisiana like he did in the book of Acts, but prayer will help that unbelieving thought. Amen. So if you have any questions on the prayer meeting, on how it goes, the format, concerns, fears, please talk to me or one of the elders about it. We would love to have you join us Wednesday here at 7 o'clock. Now, I know those with younger kids, it may be difficult to get both parents here, but even a rotation of one coming, switching off week to week is really important. And don't be surprised when excuses pop up to miss the meeting. Don't let it stop you from coming. There will always be something that comes up that will distract you from gathering with the body. A sermon I listened to this week, Sam recommended, said that, and he said, Ray Worland said, the smallest gathering of any church meeting will always be the prayer meeting. So I ask you, church, to be a church that is seen as constantly prayerful. As mentioned, we've been praying a lot about the potential to help plant a church in Louisiana. And in this course, some things have fallen into place where it looks like a group may want to start this, where we can come alongside and potentially help. The potential of planting in Louisiana has been on the elders' hearts. I know Sam's heart especially, and prayed over for a while now. And we want God to lead us in this. But we want it first, just absolutely soaked in prayer. We want God to build his church there first, and for us to be planters and waterers. But another thing, I mean, we need to be prayerful over here and for church planting, that the Holy Spirit would be involved. That the Holy Spirit, I mean, ultimately would convict the lost of Ellsbury and Louisiana of their sins against him. Let's also pray, and a focus on my life too, is pray for a heart for the lost. That we would have such a desire to reach the lost, that we will be okay with the comfortableness that we may need to give up to preach the word to those that are not saved. And any time you're thinking about maybe getting involved in the church plan, if this has been on your heart also, or really any spiritual matter, like, let people know so we can pray over it with you. We need to rely on God to handle everything. As we read in Acts, let's ask boldly for him to do a mighty work in Ellsbury, Louisiana, and wherever he leads us, and expect him to do more than we could ever think or ask. Amen. So in my study of this week's Sunday school lesson in 1 John, we're going through 1 John. This week we're talking about confidence as we pray towards God. When we pray, I read this quote by Charles Spurgeon. This is a last minute edition. Last night I was reading over this. Charles Spurgeon said, "He who has a clear conscience comes to God with confidence, and that confidence of faith ensures to him the answer of his prayer. Childlike confidence makes us pray as none else can. It makes a man pray for great things which he would never have asked for if he had not learned this confidence. It makes him pray for little things which a great many are afraid to ask for, because they have not yet felt towards God the confidence of children." So if you want to learn more about our study this week, I invite you to join us at Sunday school after the sermon. So another thing we can expect, another factor would be to expect opposition. I always get, I don't want to say surprised or discouraged when Christians are like, "Oh no, persecution is coming, it's coming. Like, the world's getting worse, persecution is coming." But like, read in 1 John, like, we've overcome the world. Like it's not something we necessarily need to be concerned about, it's something we should be expecting. So as we can go, we can also expect opposition to an endeavor of a church plant. Opposition here, Satan will work to prevent it and oppose it. But in oppositions, we have amazing examples and acts on how it was handled. If you think about it, Paul, Saul was the opposition in the beginning of Acts. So in Acts 16, we'll hit on this and then a little bit more later. 16:25 through 33, it reads, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke, saw that the prison doors were open, he drew a sword, was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them into the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." So, we may not have anything quite this dramatic happen to us in a church plan, but we might. But remember, there will be uncomfortable things. I suppose maybe, but there will be uncomfortable things that move us into a new area to share the gospel. Instead of grumbling or being mad about being in jail and their persecution, their opposition, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns and were ready to witness to the jailer and his family and those that were also in jail with them. Every place, everywhere is our mission field. Even when opposition and persecution move us into a new area, to around new people, view it as an opportunity to witness to those around you that weren't there. before. Next point would be gather your crew, or go where God is already working. When we went through the small town mission book, one of the questions was, if you were dropped into a new area to go on missions, what things would you do? So basically, like, where would you work? Who would you be around? How would you get into the community? We basically went over those things there. But one of the things that was, who would you be on mission with? Like, what would be your team? So thankfully, we at First Baptist Church Ellsbury are and should be on mission together here in Ellsbury. But if we're thinking about being a church that plants other churches, we need to think about the initial crew. As mentioned, there have been some talks about who in Louisiana, maybe the initial group, conversations have been had with, Sam's had with some of the locals up there in the community, with Ramsey Creek and Refuge Church in the surrounding areas. Both churches we align with very closely with, and hopefully about the potential of partnering up on this endeavor. Finding the right people to be on mission is a very vital thing. God did not intend us to be Lone Ranger Christians. So this past week and into next week, the elders are going through a spiritual gifts assessment with Jerry Howard. Remember Jerry, IMB missionary, his family came a few weeks ago. They were in East or West Asia? Do we ever?
East.
East? Okay. Yeah. He missed out on the geography discussion the other day. but anyways, how spiritual gifts, you know, work together in a church. And it's been a... just a good discussion on reminder of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the parts of the body in the local church. A good group of Christians around you should encourage, help. They should hold you accountable. They should correct you, care for you, pray for you, and be with you on missions wherever you are. We see in Acts the wonderful groups of people that were together in the life of the early churches. We see Peter, we see John and James, we see Paul, Barnabas for a time, then Silas and Timothy, working together to spread the gospel. A few weeks ago, it was like January, I was able to preach on Paul's time in Corinth in chapter 18. So if you remember, he went and he found and he worked with Priscilla and Aquila, what I referred to then as a Christian power couple. And we see this couple coming alongside Paul in the ministry, working with him and opening up their home to him. As believers, be ready to serve and help those on mission, opening our homes, using our crafts, our hobbies, skill set that God has given us to advance the gospel. Now, initially, when the five-year plan was put together here at First Baptist Church, it was written up, the hope was to be large enough to be able to send out maybe groups of people to start planting churches. Now, while we may not be there quite yet, it shouldn't stop us from being a church that helps plant other churches. Now, for Louisiana, we aren't looking at sending out a group of people from First Baptist Church, maybe initially, maybe that'll happen. Rather, help gather people already in the area. But if that's something that maybe it's been on your heart to be a larger part of, I encourage you to pray about it and let us know so that we can also be praying for that. So the next point, it will cost. So going on mission and planting a church will cost something for us to do it. Now, be it time or money, comforts, there'll be a lot of things. We need to be ready to pray over how we can support kingdom growth. But in the giving up of our resources, God has given us to get to be a picture of his love and his care. Now in Acts 2, 44 through 47, it says, and all who believed were, this is probably one of the more quoted verses of the Bible sections, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And praising God, this stuck out to me going over this, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we see here by the early church being around each other, having all things in common, they were committing time to the relationships of each other. Now, those of us that have grown up here in Ellsbury or similar small towns, we probably still have some family here that we can sometimes gravitate towards our family and long-term friendships or relationships that we have. The importance of an in-depth relationship with the fellow believers here cannot be understated. Giving up time with some of our relationships to build up godly ones. Now, we see too, that giving up their time and possessions and food made them stand out in the community. It's said here, having favor with all people. They were glad, generous, and displayed an attractive faith to those around them. We want to shine the light of Christ's love and truth in our communities and wherever we help church plant to be an example of what these early believers lived out. That we are ready to care for one another, even when that maybe will cost us, even when it's sometimes saying no to other relationships or putting a pause on them. And that we'll be glad and generous-hearted people that love the Lord. We have to be people that are involved with each other and the community, a visible light to those around us. The small town mission book we did in Sunday school really helped me in focusing on how I can start spiritual conversations with those that live next door to me, you know, people I've known for years, went to school with, people in my hobbies, and people that are involved in our children's lives currently in school or sports. We have to be intentional in these things that we pray for. People need to hear the word and truth, and a great way to be able to do that is to be friends with people first and have them see how we live our lives in view of the gospel. So when they see us respond to things in a different way that the world would respond to them, it would be an attractive faith to them. Amen. Next point, it will be hard to leave. When Paul says his final goodbye to the elders at Ephesus, a place he stayed 3 years at, it says in 36, it says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. I'll be honest with y'all, this one gets me. I grew up, and until about 4 years ago, have been a member of Ramsey Creek Baptist Church just up the road here. And for several years, Kate and I, we had a home team gathering in our house that was mostly Ramsey Creek people with a few Ellsbury people smattered in. It was really in that time, and then probably Sam's prodding too, that the Lord was working on my heart and serving in the local church here in Ellsbury. And in that time, I really had to wrestle with a lot of idols that I had towards really the church and some things in my own heart. I had to wrestle with the comfort of Ramsey Creek, knowing a lot of the members there for decades, you know, not really wanting to do something different to change that, not really maybe wanting to be challenged more, to grow more. Now, Ramsey Creek will be a place I love dearly, and the saints that have been steadfast there over the years, even when Satan has tried to use people to disrupt it. Katie will tell you I'm not an overly emotional person, but last Sunday there, Rod and several of the other when they prayed over me, I cried. I'm thankful for those people. There should be a closeness, a connection, and fellowship with fellow believers of Christ that will be unlike any relationship you have. The oneness should be so cared for that when you are around believers for a period of time, it'll be hard to leave them. And I'll quote Francis Chan, and even though I have some qualms with the book, Francis, he wrote about church members, he said, I love them. In part because they helped me love Jesus more. So I want to thank you all for helping me love Jesus more here. But we can't let our love for each other become an idol and prevent kingdom expansion. I'm also thankful that the success of any church is not ultimately dependent on me. When Katie and I left Ramsey Creek, it was at a tail end of a pretty turbulent time in that church's history. It would have been easy to say, let's stay and weather the storm. I even asked Rod, like, do you want me to stay? He said no. But when it's time to leave, and God tells you to leave, it's time to go. When we are called out of fellowship to plant another church, those that leave, it will be difficult. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I miss the Murphys. But I'm thankful for the work that they are doing in Montgomery City, and that we get to support that church, revitalization, prayer, finances, text, reach out to them. Traditionally, when people leave a church or are removed from membership, it's not under good circumstances. I would love to see when people go out from us, it will be with the church's support for kingdom expansion first. In Acts, Paul spent extended periods of time in the cities he was on mission with. I mean, he spent years with people in tight bonds, relationship. Love was built up in these times. He is preaching Christ crucified, raising up leaders, and leading them in godly instruction. It'll be a sad thing when people leave from here, But what a wonderful thing when it's for the glory of God. The next point would be ready to reason. So we see Peter and John and Paul all proclaim and defended the gospel in very public settings, many occasions that had to be defended, and stand firm of what they were preaching when they were called, especially in front of the authorities. Now, may have been easier to just give in to the demands, but they stayed firm. In Acts 18, Paul is in the synagogue every day trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. In a church plant in here, there will be times that we need to be ready to reason in the communities that we are in, to be publicly reasoning. I know, I wrote Murphy, or Thomas Murphy is doing that in and out of the church in Montgomery City. We need to be ready to present the gospel clearly. We need to be students of God's word so we know his truths, to witness to those who need to hear it. And we need to pray for such boldness when those times come. Another point, not everyone will be saved. Or maybe we need to be okay with a lack of success. So again, our versions of success may never come, but that shouldn't prevent us from growing, going and proclaiming. In the end of Acts 28, while Paul is in Rome, it reads, "When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For as people's hearts have grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely hear, and with their ears they have closed, lest they should be seen with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known that to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.'" But I want to encourage you all, as we can't be discouraged when it takes a long time or years for someone to be saved. When we think about the Who's Our One initiative, like we'll start out real strong. This is myself too. I'm pray. Then like a month goes by, and I'm like, maybe lax on that a little bit. Where this is something we need to be prepared for years of praying and diligence. But that shouldn't keep us, but that doesn't change what we need to keep doing. Another thing we need to be watchful over is being jealous of the success of a church plant that we're a part of. A church that we help plant may be more successful than what we see what's going on here. If we end up helping launch a church plant in Louisiana and it grows exponentially and people are being regularly baptized and saved, praise God, he is doing a work there that we prayed for and that we get to be a help in. I know First Baptist Church helped support Redemption Road in Winfield for several years. The church is continuing to grow and thrive. Like, praise God. Like, that's what we want for all kingdom advancement initiatives that we support. So be happy in the success of kingdom expansion wherever it's at. So I do believe, though, that as the church, that as we grow as a body in love and knowledge of God, that he will continue to grow this church here. But let's also pray that we'll be ready for growth in here in the church plant. Be ready for growth in unity and sanctification. Next point, God is with us. So praise God that he is with us in going and proclaiming his truths. Stand on the promises that he has given us. I'm so thankful that he hasn't left us alone to do this work. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray, proclaim, reason, defend, love, and go. When the Lord came to Paul in the vision in Corinth, he said, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you." So why do we go? We go because we love God and want to keep his commandments. As we're walking through 1 John, in chapter 5, in Sunday school, chapter 5, it reads, 1 John 5, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes in Jesus is the Son of God?" So we go, we leave, we say goodbye, we go and proclaim the gospel to be a witness in Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, Missouri, Ellsbury, and if the Lord wills, Louisiana, because we love God and keep his commandments. So if you are here today and you're not saved, I reason and plead with you now to understand the weight of your sin against a holy God that created you. In chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must he do to be saved? Paul responded so beautifully, simply, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No works besides those done by Jesus on the cross. And he died for you and rose again. I prayed before speaking today that the Holy Spirit would convict those of their sin to run to Christ today, right now, where you are seated. That's you. I'd love to talk to you afterwards or any of the other elders as well. So church, let's be in the mindful of kingdom expansion. Let's be in the mind of going. Let's be in the mind of looking different in this community, looking different in the community of Louisiana by how we care for one another, how we love for one another, how we react to situations that come up in the world, that we will display an attractive faith and that we will be ready to go and not just rest in our comforts here. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for how you moved in the lives of so many men to go and plant. And we thank you for this example of discomforts that may come up, examples of hard goodbyes, examples of persecution, examples of the importance of prayer that we see here. And we thank you for those that were steadfast and movable in the faith, that we can see their work in obeying your commandments. We pray that we would be a church that is ready to go, that you would stir in our hearts a love for the lost here in Ellsbury, a love for the lost in Louisiana, that we would be willing to give up certain comforts to go and spread your word. We thank you for this body of believers. We thank you for those that were far away that you brought near together, that we would be a light in this community of Ellsbury, that we would be different than the other churches because we stand fast to the gospel and your word, and that we would display an attractive faith to those around us. We pray for intentional conversations this week, with spiritual conversations with our neighbors, with our longtime friends, with family members too, that you would empower the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins and that you would save them, Lord. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.